Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, I don't know if you guys remember us playing this song. Maybe I should just play this song for you first and then see if you remember, especially those of you who are extremely loyal listeners that catch this show every single day practically. I think we played this on the radio. I remember it had to be a Tuesday, I think, because John Jackson, the Joker from X, was in the house with us. And it must have been a Tuesday after the Fusion Fight League MMA fights took place. Because I remember when I first heard this song, it was a walkout song. One of the MMA fighters, you know, like the fighters when they come out to the octagon, they have their own music, you know, kind of their warm-up music, their pump-up-the-crowd music before they step in the octagon for the fight music. And when I heard this song, I was like, man, that song is cool. I need to add that to my playlist when I'm at the gym. I'm going to put that on my workout playlist. And so I pulled out, there's this app called SoundHound, I think it was. And you push a button, and it will hear the music. You can do the same thing, like when you're listening to your local radio station, and you hear a song you like, and you're like, oh, that's a cool song. What is that? Or I want to have that on my playlist for when I'm at the gym, or maybe when I'm out on the boat, right? Now you've got it on your playlist. And so I remember I SoundHounded that song, put it in my playlist, because I'm like, man, that song will get you pumped up. That is a cool song. Let me just play it for you and see if you guys remember when we played this song on the radio, because it was shortly after, I think, Congress was about to go back into session, and I wanted this to be their battle cry as the Republicans took over the House of Representatives to start fixing this country. Gym now. Who's ready to go get your workout in? Anyway, I was like, man, that song is cool. And I think it was a Native American fighter who played that song as he came out into the octagon for one of the Fusion Fight League events. Well, anyway, I saw that song, or I saw a video yesterday on social media, and it was a bunch of kids on the High Line of Montana. And they were all dancing to that song because it's apparently a very popular song right now. Again, it's a pop music song that you can tell it's got an electric background to it. It's not a sacred Native American song. It's a popular music song. Well, because these white kids were enjoying the song and dancing to the song, there's people that are calling them racist now as a result of that. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Everything is racist in these days, of course. And so, anyway, it's just crazy because it's like, hey, you got Indians dancing to cowboy music. You got cowboys dancing to Indian music. That's a good thing, people. That's something we should be celebrating in America, the fact that people get along. But here we go again. There's people that constantly want us to want to divide us over every little thing. That's why they say that everything is racist.
It's September 26th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Johnny Appleseed Day. The Massachusetts native was born John Chapman in 1774, and over the course of his life, he gained notoriety as a kind man who planted apple seeds wherever he went across parts of the East and Midwest, but also dispensed wisdom to the many strangers he met on his journeys. The legend of Johnny Appleseed lives on during the fall when apples are plentiful. Pennsylvania lays claim to having the first orchard Johnny Appleseed planted, while Mansfield, Ohio has a monument to the man. Also on this date, in 1960, Fidel Castro of Cuba gives the longest speech by a head of state at the UN General Assembly of nearly 4.5 hours. And in 2017, Saudi Arabia becomes the final country in the world to overturn a ban on women driving. If it's your birthday today, you share it with American poet and Nobel laureate T.S. Eliot, born in 1888. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Puss, put your desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
Man, so much to talk about here on this Freedom Friday with our fellow veteran and friend, George Blackard, joining us every Freedom Friday. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth is having a big meeting with a bunch of generals and military officers. And, of course, the left is freaking out about that one. It's like, why would the Secretary of Defense or War or whatever you call it want to meet with the officers under his command? My goodness, what is it that you think he is supposed to be doing here? Plus, another story, I don't know if you guys caught this one earlier in the week. This comes from the Daily Caller. The Pentagon is looking to get final approval for the execution of the convicted Fort Hood shooter. You guys remember Nadal Malik Hassan? How that guy got promoted to major is still beyond me. But, yeah, apparently they're going to move forward with trying to get the finally get the execution of that Fort Hood mass shooter. So lots of stuff to talk about here on this Freedom Friday with George Blackard. But, George, okay, you heard the song that I just played. What'd you think of the song?
You know, it's pretty crazy. I've never heard that before, and there's a lot of energy in that song, that's for sure. But I heard you say that some people are calling white kids racist for dancing to that or enjoying that.
Yeah, so I spotted it on I follow CNN on Facebook. Not that CNN. I follow the Crow Nation News on Facebook. And the Crow Nation News on Facebook had shared somebody commenting, and they shared this video of these kids dancing to this song, and they were basically saying that, oh, these white kids up on in this small town on the High Line, it's some school kids in Glasgow, they're saying, oh, look at them, they're racist, and basically saying that this was somehow cultural appropriation. And it's like okay, so they can't dance to a popular music song that's a Native American popular music song. I guess Native Americans are the only ones that are supposed to enjoy popular music. And yeah, they're calling them racist for enjoying a popular Native American song.
Yeah, I don't understand it. Of course, it shouldn't be surprising to us, Aaron, because, you know, the left, if we enjoy anything, we're racist. If we don't appreciate something, more racist. If I mean, who knows? But I think that's sad and it's ridiculous. And you know, it's interesting though, because I know some people from different cultures personally, and they would be like, I'm glad, that's great, that's bringing attention to something, you know, that is great that they appreciate that you're supposed to appreciate things like that.
Yeah, I got some great comments, and a lot of Native Americans, by the way, are actually standing up for these kids and being like, hey, that's cool that they love this song. It's a very popular song. And some people were saying that they were trying to remember, was it the Box Elder boys basketball team? They used that as their warm-up song. I mean, there's just a ton of people that like this song. It's called Electric Powwow, so it's not a traditional sacred ceremonial powwow song. It's called Electric Powwow, and it's more of like, you know, like I say, it's a popular music song. And so a lot of Native Americans are, of course, rising to the defense of these kids, right? Because they're saying, look, this is stupid. They're enjoying the song. They're celebrating it. Why are you guys attacking them right now? Yeah, I just think it's just this knee-jerk reaction now to try to divide people along racial lines at every single turn. But also think about this, like, you know, how the band that put that song together, the Native American artist that did that song, I'll bet they get more money the more people that play their song and hear their song and purchase their products and things like that. And so literally, is this the message of the left right now, is don't you dare allow Native American artists to make money?
Right. Exactly. You're exactly right, Aaron. You are right. And the left, they don't see it that way. Of course, they don't care about that. And as we know, they really don't care about any of these causes or people that they're supposedly helping. You know, I saw an interesting video the other day. There were some white people, and they were protesting for some black people, and the black people were like, get out of here. We don't want you here. Get away from us. It was so funny. Just get away from us. We don't want you here.
It must have been in Washington, D.C., because that's where they've had, you know, all these liberal white people, like, marching and protesting against the National Guard.
I think it was. Yeah. I think it was.
They're like, we don't want security in Washington, D.C., and the black majority of people in Washington, D.C. are like, yeah, we want the security. We want the safety. I don't know what the heck you crazy white folks are talking about. But this whole thing, it reminds me of the Jimmy Kimmel story. The left is acting like Jimmy Kimmel was canceled by the government. No, he was canceled because he had poor ratings, and he straight up lied on his late night show. And he's not funny.
Yeah.
But oh boy, look at how they all rose to his defense. But remember that little kid who was at a Kansas City Chiefs game? And they attacked a little kid for wearing Kansas City Chiefs, you know, pride gear. Like, they went after a little kid.
Exactly. And if you remember, the picture they used only showed the right side of his face, which was painted black.
That's right.
They didn't show both sides. The other side was painted red. So, yeah, they tried to run with that story, and they got embarrassed by it. But that just shows you the lengths they'll go to. Because somebody sat there and said, well, don't use any of those six pictures we took of him. Use the one where you can only see the black side of his face, which is...
Attacking kids, a hallmark of the modern left in America. George Blackard, hold that thought. We'll see what George wants to talk about coming up right after this. Plus, we're taking your calls.
Fox Sports Update.
A last-second field goal for the Seahawks. Good morning, I'm Jared Max. Week 4 of the NFL season kicked off in Glendale, Arizona last night. Wild ending between the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Seattle was in front 20-6 with under 6 minutes to play. The Cardinals then scored 2 touchdowns. Kyler Murray connected with Marvin Harrison Jr. and then with Imari DeMercado with 33 seconds left. The extra point tied the score 20 apiece. But on the next kickoff, Arizona failed to get the ball into the landing zone, and so the Seahawks started at their own 40-yard line. A few plays later, Jason Myers came on and kicked a game-winning 52-yard field goal as time expired. Seahawks 23, Cardinals 20. 8 straight wins for Seattle against Arizona. The Seahawks improved their record this season to 3-1. Cardinals 2-2. Sam Darnold threw for 242 yards and 1 touchdown for Seattle. Kyler Murray had a couple of TD passes for Arizona, but also was intercepted twice. Golf, the Ryder Cup, the biennial international competition between the United States and Europe, underway this morning. 4 foursome matches, and then this afternoon, 4 best ball matches at Bethpage Black in New York on Long Island. This morning's matchups, alternate shot play, Americans Justin Thomas and Bryson DeChambeau versus John Rahm and Tyrell Hatton. Scottie Scheffler and Russell Henley against Matt Fitzpatrick and Ludwig Gobert. Colin Morikawa and Harris English against Rory McIlroy and Tommy Fleetwood. Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay against Victor Hovland and Robert McIntyre. Baseball, we're up to the final weekend of the regular season. The Dodgers clinched the NL West title Thursday for the 4th year in a row. The Mets, 1 game ahead of the Reds and 2 better than the Diamondbacks for the final NL wild card. The Tigers ended an 8-game losing streak with a 4-2 win over Cleveland, which has the same record as Detroit but sits atop the AL Central. The Yankees beat the White Sox and remained in a first-place tie with the Blue Jays. Toronto beat Boston. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Donald Trump's America.
President Trump says the European Union must immediately cease all energy purchases from Russia to put pressure on Moscow to end its war in Ukraine. Energy Secretary Chris Wright says the U.S. is ready to supply Europe's energy demands.
They are weaning themselves off. They have a plan to do it in about another 21 months. We're saying we can do it tomorrow.
Wright spoke on the Fox News Rundown podcast.
We want to supply energy to our allies, get them off relying on their foes, and starve the Russian war machine.
The EU has reduced gas and oil purchases from Russia, but continues to import some energy to prevent shortages. Wright concedes buying American natural gas will be more expensive, but says there is economic upside for the natural gas industry to develop in Europe. President Trump also criticized Europe's clean energy initiatives, calling the carbon footprint a hoax. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. I'm glad George and I could chat a little bit off air during the break there. I pulled up the Fox News radio affiliate website that we get access to here because several of our radio stations are our Fox News affiliates, including our flagship station. But, George, before I play the news stories, let's just get your reaction right out the gates. First thing up front here, and then I'll play the official news stories. But basically, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, is going to have a big meeting with all the generals and admirals. And apparently some of the, well, anyway, your reaction to the news stories, and then we'll let everybody else hear it too.
Well, you know, even though they're generals and admirals, they still answer to somebody. And, you know, I find it interesting that everybody's making a big deal out of this. Some of them should probably be worried, though, because the Secretary of War did say right off the bat he needed to cut that position by 20%. And if people don't understand, we have so many generals and admirals now. I think there's one for every 1,600 or so troops. And in World War II, at the height of the war, we had one per about every 6,000 troops. So, you know, it's I think there's a lot of bloat in that position.
And in fact, Pete Hegseth, in his confirmation hearings, shared those specific numbers. I don't have the specific numbers in front of me right now, but yeah, it's a colossal difference between the number of general and flag officers we had in the ranks during World War II versus compared to what we have now, and what that bureaucracy at the top has bloated into, as George suggested. All right, well, let me play first. It's kind of funny because John Jackson, the Joker from X, he refers to Jennifer Griffin. She's like the Pentagon correspondent for Fox. He calls her Jennifer Deep State Griffin or something like that. But anyway, let's play the Jennifer Griffin report here. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth expected to meet next week with hundreds of top generals from around the world in Virginia. And George and I, we were both just laughing as we heard this story from Jennifer Griffin.
800 generals, admirals, and their senior enlisted aides have been ordered from their posts around the world to Washington, D.C. to gather in an auditorium at Marine Base Quantico in Virginia on Tuesday. The officers have not been told what the meeting is about. The invitation has sent shockwaves through an already fearful officer corps who have been on the receiving end of angry outbursts by Secretary Hegseth, who routinely threatens to submit them to polygraphs. Some express concerns that bringing all the military brass to one location in D.C. is an unnecessary security risk. Question why the meeting cannot be held on a secure video teleconference call, especially at a time of rising global threats and cost cutting as the government faces a possible shutdown.
George, I just want to know, who are these crybaby generals and admirals? That's the main thing I want to know right now. I mean, give me a break. This has got to be today's Oh for Pete's Sake moment, I think.
Well, hopefully they're the 20%, the ones that are the crybabies. So I'm hoping they're the 20%. But, you know, I think it's crazy that this is even a news story. Two, the fact that he's calling them in there and he's looking them in the eye face to face. He's not doing this over a video call or a conference call. And, you know, I think that's good. I think that it's good he's doing this face to face because, you know, there are those that would, especially if he's going to fire some of them, he's doing it face to face. So, you know, there are those that wouldn't have the guts to do that. But there's one thing that Pete Hegseth is not lacking, and that's guts.
Well, look, as a platoon leader, as a detachment commander, as a company commander, and a battalion HHC, and other, I've been to a whole bunch of commanders' conferences where the commanders get together and you get to face-to-face with the boss and you present your plans for the year or whatever the topic might be. And then, yeah, they ask you some tough questions. But you're in a position of great responsibility, so you should be facing some tough questions, right? But it's just amazing to me, some of these whiny flag officers here, oh, why is this meeting taking place? How come they're calling me to the office? It's like, you know those guys would throw a soldier, sailor, airman, or marine under the bus in a freaking heartbeat for the minorest of offenses. But, oh, no, the Secretary of War wants to meet with them, and they're about to wet the bed over the whole deal. Give me a break. I wonder what some of these guys were doing during COVID-19 and kicking troops to the curb over these BS mask mandates and things like that, right?
Well, exactly. And you know what? I don't think that it's a bad thing that they are getting together and meeting like this, because here's the thing. Even though they're a general or an admiral, they basically still serve at the pleasure of the president and the Secretary of Defense, and they can be fired. Also, the thing about them getting all together, like you said, this isn't really unusual because you've been to commanders' conferences, and maybe it is because they're dragging some people halfway around the world in here, but, you know, I want a Secretary of War that's going to stay on top of stuff, that's going to run a tight ship, that's going to have his ducks in a row, and, you know, you can't, I think, fault the guy for doing it this way. Just because it's not the way that other people have done it for the past couple decades or whatever it is, I don't think it's wrong. I think it's a good thing. Pete Hegseth's a good guy.
Oh, he's a great guy, yeah. And I think you and I both got to meet him when he was here in Montana. I think that was back in 2019. And, yeah, he's been there in the fight. You know, he was in Iraq probably around the same time I was. And, doing a great job. And here's another report from Jackie Heinrich, kind of giving the reaction from the White House and Vice President J.D. Vance in particular.
Expressed confusion about why this would be a big story, framing it as a friendly get-together between the War Secretary, generals, and admirals, which would also include touring equipment sites. The invitation reportedly caused alarm because it came in the form of a directive.
Because it came in the form of a directive. How else do you get them to come? They have to have orders. They have to you know, like, my goodness.
It's an order.
Yeah.
It's an order. Exactly. I'm ordering you to do this. That's every day in the military.
Yeah, exactly. You were probably ordered to do a whole bunch of things that you didn't like to do. And traveling to Virginia for a conference would probably be one of the better things you would have been ordered to do, right, George?
Exactly. That's exactly right. But here's the other thing that I want to point out. You know, it's a good thing to keep in touch with these guys, because look at General Milley. We had this traitorous scumbag, General Milley, who, you know, he's the one who said he would warn the Chinese if President Trump were going to do anything he didn't think was right. He would actually call our enemy and warn them. And that's treason. And he did it, and he said it out loud. So it's not a bad thing to stay in touch with these guys and let them know, hey, you know, I know what's going on. This is where we are. You know, it keeps those people honest.
Well, and the other thing, just to put a bow on this whole Pentagon meeting story, is like, look, if you're a leader, you relish the opportunity to get to meet with your higher headquarters, because you've probably got a list of stuff that you want and need for your troops. And well, sir, I need this equipment. Well, sir, we need to do this. Sir, we need to stop doing that. You know, and that's what real leaders do is as much as you hate doing paperwork and as much as you don't want to go to another meeting, if you're there to advocate for the troops under your command, you will say, look, we got to stop doing this. We need to start doing that. I need this equipment. I need this from your section over here. I need that from your section over there. Right? You relish this opportunity. But if you're somebody who's just some political hack that's, you know, skated their way along and kissed their way up to the top of the chain by sucking up to the swamp establishment, of course, you don't want to meet with the boss. Yeah, my goodness. Anyway, that was
You're absolutely right.
My rant's over on that one. Speaking of traitorous scumbags, what about James Comey getting indicted, George?
Well, you know, I think that it's a good thing. I think it's about time. I think he's probably not the only one that should be. But deep down, I don't think they're going to do anything to him. I really don't. I think a lot of this is just like we see from Washington, D.C. all the time. They hold hearings, and they question people, and they investigate people, and they threaten, and then nothing happens.
Well, and look, our system, you know, is built really with so many protections in place, and no matter how guilty James Comey is or may be, that's why if you notice James Comey yesterday in his response, he was saying, well, I want a trial. It's not so much that he wants a trial, it's where he wants a trial to take place. Some of these people are such nut jobs in places like New York City and Washington, D.C. right now that they don't care how egregious the conduct, how egregious the offense. They will refuse to declare somebody guilty likewise call somebody guilty simply because of the politics right now. And it's an unfortunate development in our system where you've got the radical left that does not believe in the rule of law and fully supports weaponizing government against their political opponents. And I think, you know, all it would take is one juror to say not guilty, and especially depending on where the jury, where the trial would take place, right?
Well, exactly. I think he likes the attention. I think that's the type of narcissistic personality that he has. And so it'll be interesting. I hope that something comes of this. But, you know, Aaron, it's just like this. Half of America cares and half of America doesn't care. And so, I mean, what do you make of that? I mean, it's just like we find out yesterday, that, you know, the left is freaking out about free speech and all this, and Jimmy Kimmel and all those people that said horrible, nasty, evil things after Charlie Kirk was murdered. And, you know, it's all about restricting free speech. But then Google comes out and says, well, President Biden and his administration.
Hold that thought. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back to the
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, I know George was right in the middle of making a really good point, so I didn't want to interrupt him. And we can't hear the music as we roll into the breaks like you guys can hear the music as we roll into the breaks. So I was like, ooh, and then I finally had to just interrupt because we were going to the hard break there. But George, you were making a great point about Google and these people on the left and their alligator tears over Jimmy Kimmel. And as you and I were talking during the break, I refer to them now as the free speech frauds. They're the free speech frauds. What did you want to say about Google before we get to our caller?
Well, you know, everybody's blaming President Trump for Jimmy Kimmel, and we know he didn't have anything to do with that. And they're blaming him for all these things. They're supposedly free speech violations, but Google themselves came out and admitted a day or two ago that, yes, we took a call from the Biden administration. Yes, they told us to censor conservative platforms, and they did. And they made it so that conservatives, during an election cycle, they made it so that their platforms, their pages, their videos were not making it to the public. So Joe Biden and his administration actually did prohibit free speech.
Oh, in so many different ways. And Google, I mean, Google was even going so far as to basically mess with emails and email settings to prevent, like, the Republican Party for communicating with their supporters, for example. We already know how big tech, Facebook, and all these others boosted the algorithms. Boosted the algorithm for the left, throttled content for the right. I've even noticed with my own digital numbers for our Montana Talks website and for the content that I produce, it's like, wow, all of a sudden the numbers, it's just pretty interesting the way that it was very clear they deliberately were targeting conservative content all across America and truly interfering with elections at the same time. I mean, even though they're now all pretending, Biden made me do it. Yeah, they still need to be held accountable, if you ask me. All right, let's go into the phone lines. We got Jeff in Polson. Jeff, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, George. Good morning, Montana. As you know, I was in the Air Force, enlisted the whole time.
Smart man.
Signals intelligence. And when I started, our officer to enlisted ratio was 14 to 1. We had 14 enlisted folks for every one officer. And you would have a brand new green second lieutenant, but you had a company grade officer, anywhere from second lieutenant, first lieutenant, to captain, who would be in charge of a flight of maybe anywhere from 20 to 120 people. And that's where they learned leadership. And those enlisted people followed the orders of that one officer. You didn't need a whole bunch of officers. And when I retired, that ratio had dropped from 14 to 1 to 4 to 1. And there was no discernible benefit in what was getting done. And I say that just to apply it to the general officers. I mean, we have four times now as many general officers per person in the force as you had back in World War II when we were actually fighting a war. And they're going to whine. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we used to have commanders conferences twice a year where the commander of an organization, a group in wing level, and their senior enlisted advisor would come together down in San Antonio. Nobody ever griped about all the leadership gathering in one spot and vulnerability and security issues. Because you know what? There's a deputy commander back at the unit. And there's other enlisted back in the unit. And God forbid if something should happen, that unit's not going to fall apart. That unit's going to progress just fine. They're going to grieve the loss of their commander and their senior enlisted advisor and move on. So,
and we don't stop because of the threat. We keep fighting in the face of the threat. And by the way, we have good intelligence mechanisms out there to see if something like these would be targeted. And so, hey, yeah, no, great points there, Jeff. Great points all around. In fact, George, you know, interestingly enough, talking about the Air Force, you know, as long as the government doesn't shut down, there is actually a leadership symposium that's going to be coming up at Malmstrom Air Force Base, and I get a chance to be a part of it, and should be doing the show from there. And it's so cool. The wing commander is gathering his leaders and doing a leadership symposium and bringing in guest speakers from across the board. And it's like, that's great. That's great, right? Like, this is what you should be doing to develop and mentor the leaders within your organization. So, yeah, great point there by Jeff. Anything you wanted to say about his call before we move on to other topics?
Jeff's a smart guy, and he always brings good info to the show when he calls in. But, there you go. There's somebody who lived it, who put his time in, retired, and he sees the change, and he knows. And he knows that you don't need all those officers. So, you know, take it from somebody that's been there,
The one other thing I was going to say, he was talking about those young lieutenants, and I was just going to add, thankfully, those young lieutenants have a very good senior enlisted guy, like a platoon sergeant or something like that, to kind of be able to pull them aside and say, hey, sir, you know what I'm saying, or ma'am, you know, whatever.
Exactly. Before we end today, and we don't have to talk about it now, but I want to talk about Trump at the UN just a little bit before we finish today.
Wasn't that great? Go for it. That was some of the best highlights of the week.
It really was. And if you haven't seen his speech at the UN, you need to go back and see it again, because he even got Hillary Clinton to praise him and agree with him. So that's how good of a speech it was. But, you know, the last time he was there, there were people that were laughing at him. And this time, nobody was laughing. Everybody was listening. And, you know, he got up there and he said some hard truths. And he told these other countries, he said, hey, you've got these immigrants, we'll call them, that are coming into your country, and they're destroying your country, and they're going to set up Sharia law. They're going to do. I mean, he said all the things he should have said out loud, and people were listening.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was incredibly powerful, and because really, this. I mean, we talked about this before the November elections last year. That the elections last year weren't just about saving the United States of America. It was about saving Western civilization itself. And what,
exactly.
What has been taking place in Europe and mass migration in Europe. And, I mean, you've had Christians quietly praying, not even saying anything, but quietly praying in places in London and getting arrested for it. I mean, you've had law enforcement officers showing up at the homes of individuals in some European countries demanding to take away their children's cell phones because their children viewed a social media post that didn't have the right politics in it right now. I mean, this is the only country left where we still have the freedom of speech, and these free speech frauds are the ones that are attacking the First Amendment. George, what's another Freedom Friday story you want to get to here this morning?
Well, you know, there's so many things out there to talk about right now, but I think one of them that I wanted to mention, it's kind of a feel-good story, actually. You know, we all heard Erica Kirk speak at Charlie's funeral, and she came out and said, I forgive my husband's murder, because that's what Christ would do and that's what Charlie would do. And how powerful that was. And since then, there have been a lot of people coming out with their own stories and saying how much she affected them. And one of them is Tim Allen. And everybody, I bring this up because everybody knows who Tim Allen is.
Yeah.
From Home Improvement and the Santa Claus. Tool Time, yeah. And so he came out and said he was so deeply affected by Erica forgiving him and her speech and what she did that he's forgiven his dad's murder. And so, I mean, that is amazing. And but see, that also is what good can do. Good brings more good, and evil brings more evil. And so, I mean, I applaud her. I don't know that I could do what she did at all. But, you know, it's had a profound effect on a lot of people. And so my hat's off to her. My hat's off to Tim Allen and, you know, everybody else who has taken that to heart and decided to make some hard decisions in their life. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it reminds me so much, once again, of Eva Kaur, the Auschwitz Holocaust survivor. She was one of the Mengele twins that was viciously experimented on, and she came to Montana several times and shared her story, but specifically her story of forgiveness and how she felt she finally had to actually forgive the very Nazis who did so many vicious things to her and her twin sister and killed so many Jews. And it was just a powerful message to think, like, if there's ever anybody you think you couldn't forgive, her story would be an example, right? Okay, quick break. Back with Montana Talks right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Former FBI Director James Comey, or as he likes to describe himself, Mr. Higher Honor, has been indicted by a federal grand jury in Virginia. Comey is now facing two charges, obstruction of a congressional proceeding and lying to Congress. If he is convicted, he will face 5 years in prison on each count. This is going to have a cascading effect. The same James Comey that protected Hillary Clinton and looked the other way, he said no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute. Attorney General Pam Bondi writing on X, quote, no one is above the law. Today's indictment reflects this Department of Justice's commitment to holding those who abuse positions of power accountable for misleading the American people.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
When was the last time you bragged about your wireless company? Like, did you know my wireless company gave away 1,000 American flags to deserving veterans and forgave $10 million in veterans' debt? Did you know that my wireless company raised almost $500,000 to prevent vet suicide? In other words, when your wireless company is Pure Talk, there's a whole lot to brag about. You can even brag about the coverage you get with Pure Talk. They use the same 5G network, the same cell towers as all the big carriers. And guess what? The average family saves over $1,000 a year. You can get unlimited talk and text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's saving everybody a fortune. Make the switch. It's simple, fast, easy. Just dial #250, say the keyword, save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword, save now from our friends at Pure Talk.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Parker McCollum announced a 14-date headlining tour kicking off January 23rd in El Paso, Texas. The run will stop at arenas across the country before wrapping with two nights at the St. Augustine Amphitheater in Florida in March. Joining McCollum on select dates are Jake Worthington, William Beckman, and more. The news comes after the release of his self-titled fifth studio album, Parker McCollum, which debuted as his highest charting record yet. General on sale starts Friday. Yeah, we went out. And Kenny Chesney paid tribute to his friend and songwriting partner, Brett James, who died September 18th in a small plane crash. He was 57 years old. Chesney took to Instagram to share pics of the two, captioning them in part, "Thank you for being a lifer, for being a shirtless, sunburned troubadour, for your friendship, your songs, and all the laughs." James was one of Nashville's most respected songwriters, penning hits for Carrie Underwood and many more. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Hiring.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got to talk about the Chicago Cubs, but first let's talk about this this shooting down in Texas. Our friend George Blackard had spent some time down in Texas. George, when you told me you wanted to talk about this story down in Texas, I assumed you were going to talk about the deranged leftist that wanted to go after the ICE agents, started firing on one of their vans, and actually ended up killing and then wounding illegal aliens instead. But no, this is a different shooting altogether. This story is crazy.
Right, and this is Katy, Texas, right where I sometimes am. And, you know, so there were some 12-year-olds playing Little League Baseball out on the baseball field. They call it the RAC. It's the RAC. It's a cool place. And suddenly, all these shots started ringing out, and kids started running, and one of the coaches, they were having a prayer. So this is the other unique thing. They were having a prayer, and all these gunshots ring out, hits one of the coaches in the shoulder, so one person didn't get hit. And the media initially reported that there were some young people shooting recreationally in a property close by. They weren't really young people. They kind of are. They were 21, 23, and 27. But what they didn't tell you at first was their names are Mahmoud, Ahmed, and Mustafa. And so it's just interesting that, you know, one, that's who they are. Two, it was happening during a Christian prayer. Three, it was at a baseball field, and they were recreationally shooting on an adjacent property with high-powered semi-automatic rifles. So I don't know. You put all the puzzle pieces together yourself.
My goodness.
But, Yeah.
Isn't this so typical of the liberal media, too? Oh, no, it's fine. Everything's fine. Oh, no, it's just some kids playing around. They do this all the time. It reminds me of that Monty Python on the Holy Grail clip where the guy's got his arm chopped off. Oh, no, tis merely a scratch. You know, it's like they so desperately have to, like, oh, no, it's not this. It's just some kids. I mean, my goodness, they do this all the time with so many of these stories. Oh, no, we, like the New Orleans thing, remember that left-wing FBI special agent who got reassigned because, oh, it's not terrorism. Yeah, it was terrorism.
Right, exactly. So, you know, we cannot trust our media to tell us the truth without spinning it. And you already know which way the spin's going to go. So you really have to pay attention to what you're reading and believing and seeing because, you know, a picture's not worth 1,000 words anymore because pictures lie these days.
Yeah. George, we only got about a minute to go or so. The Chicago Cubs, Charlie Kirk, huge Chicago Cubs fan, a Chicago Cubs and an Oregon Ducks fan. One of the baseball players for the Chicago Cubs actually missed a game so he could be at the Charlie Kirk celebration of life. And then some sportscaster attacked and criticized the player over that. Apparently did not end well for that sportscaster.
No, in fact, the ball player was invited by Charlie's wife to be there. And so the sportscaster said, well, it's just weird that he would miss a game and go to that funeral. Well, he was making a big deal out of it. And apparently some people pointed out to him, you recently missed a game because a dog died. You skipped work because a dog died. He skipped work because a friend of his died. So, you know, it's just, again, honesty in the media, even if it's a sports broadcaster.
My goodness. Speaking of honesty, Barack Obama attacked President Trump for not recommending Tylenol to pregnant women. Tylenol themselves sent out a tweet. We actually don't recommend using any of our products while pregnant. But thank you for taking it. It's like Tylenol. Did anybody ever bother to ask Tylenol what they thought about the whole thing? They're like, yeah, we don't recommend you using any of our products while you're pregnant. Okay.
Way to go, Barack. Way to go.
Barack Hussein Obama. George Blackard, happy Freedom Friday. Thanks for being with us as always. We got phone lines open for you coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service for State Forester and the Ad Council.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.